Are we doing the thing? Is this a thing?
Have you hit your record button?
I hit my record button. I am currently recording.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's technical difficulties, the podcast.
Goddamn right. Fucking Jamie Noguchi, I'm on my feet today.
What?
Start this motherfucker. What? On my feet.
Okay. Do you have a standing desk or something?
Yeah, man. That IKEA jam.
Yeah.
That IKEA jam. I have the fancy one with the buttons. I got the hand crank. I got to work at that shit. Yeah, like if you want to stand, you got to fucking earn it.
So you have ye old standing desk.
I mean, I have ye cheap old standing desk. Yeah, whatever. I'm not throwing that $500 at IKEA for a standing desk where I can just press a button. Like I ain't got that kind of scratch.
Brandon, I believe we start every show with an oh shit, a proper oh shit.
Ah, shit, there it is.
It's so great.
See the freedom of being on my feet?
It opens up your box, I see. Your instrument.
From the diaphragm.
It lets your instrument breathe. So you can let in more
Jamie
air.
Noguchi, I'm able to breathe and bring to you these dulcet tones.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Fuck Undo It cast. You have decided to spend an hour plus with us. Thank you very much. We are part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network. That's Knock as in Nerds of Color, NOC. The URL is going to be up the entire time because we don't have like regular sponsors yet, but.
Yep.
But.
Yet. I see
yet.
You looking me on these.com. I
yet.
See you looking.
Yet.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you're looking for me to slide into your DMs with some private photos,
nice.
Just send some product. That's all I'm saying.
Leica, should you need someone to design an ugly ass CL for you, I'm available.
That's a one-stop shop. Like Jamie designs them, I model them. It's about time you started really, ironically enough, cracking into that plus size market. That's all I'm saying. Like just... fucking break that thing wide open.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Oh man. Who would you want to sponsor us? I mean, we don't have like I don't know. Like our podcast doesn't necessarily lend itself to like a normal sponsor.
Sure it does.
But like
yeah, absolutely it does, Jamie. All the shit MeUndies is it. That's all I'm saying. Like I know they're podcast friendly. I know they're ready to rock and roll. I'm all over the place, Jamie. I'm out in the yard. I'm down here in the dungeon. I'm getting things done. I'm working on my feet most of the day. I need myself an incredibly comfortable and breathable pair of not only functional, but kind of sexy underwear. And Jamie Noguchi, MeUndies.com is the one-stop shop for me to find all the things that I'm looking for right here. Just hugging and nesting my balls is really it's doing. Just giving them the sweetest, just the most... gentle hugs.
For the metadata on this episode, I should just say MeUndies, call us. It should just be
Yeah. When your balls need a hug, MeUndies.com.
You know,
offer code fucking do it.
We do have an email address that I haven't talked about since like the first episodes that we've got it. So maybe I should check it and see if someone's actually written us and say, hey guys, we would like to sponsor you.
Right, yeah, it's just a series of emails. Offer for sponsorship. Follow up on offer for sponsorship. Last chance offer for sponsorship. Fuck you guys for not responding. So, God damn it, Jamie.
But I feel like I don't know if they've seen this on the on YouTube or if they've seen this on Facebook or like on Twitter. There are so many easy ways to get in touch with me. Like I figure it's not a mystery, you know. So.
Jamie, if I've learned one thing, it's that most people have a preferred way of communication. And if you're not willing to jump through their hoop, you can go fuck yourself.
Man, But so you would want MeUndies?
I honestly, I'll take anybody who will actually pay me.
Yeah.
But the idea of getting some MeUndies just to be able to say like, yeah, that's right. My underwear paid for by my mouth. Nice. Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would want something stupid. I would want Olympus or like Leica.
Well, yeah, obviously, like having a rad ass camera vendor or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, please understand. Do you hear me, Canon USA? I will go into a Leica store and physically assault an employee if you light Jamie and I up with gear. Like, I mean, yeah. Middle of the range gear.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
A $1,500 gift certificate for the two, like one for each of us. Let's say 3 G's up front. I will gladly have Jamie come in and just fucking film me just going, hi, welcome to the Leica store. And be like, hey, how's it going? And just fucking lay somebody out.
Oh, man.
And just shout, Canon, bitch, and just walk out.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
What other
calling out Jason Momoa. Just be like, I was told Aquaman's here. Fuck y'all.
Where's your Aquaman version like a motherfucker?
Yeah. Where's your Khal Drogo now, bitch? What now?
Where is the Momoa like a? I feel like you should have one by now.
I mean, in my heart and in my mind. That's usually where Momoa lives, but
in my mind, the Jason Momoa Leica isn't just a camera; it's an experience where, like,
yeah,
he presents you the camera and you hang out with him for the day, and you shoot whatever he like. I don't know what Jason Momoa likes to shoot, but you follow him and you guys just shoot the day and just like take photos of all the stuff he likes.
I realize I may be just a lazy Instagram nerd, where like I haven't even looked to see if Momoa has his own photo account.
Oh my god!
Because he never seems to post photos. Like he's always walking around with cameras and stuff like that, and he's always talking about Leica gear.
Yeah,
but like I don't know what he's shooting. Like I'm convinced he's got like a private Instagram where he's just like sharing it with, you know, like Lenny Kravitz and his kids and a bunch of other Batfleck has access to it. It's like Batfleck, Lenny Kravitz, his wife, and like six other people. Yeah. And the cast of SNL all know that his personal Instagram where Momoa is just fucking snagging just like a selfies all day long. Just air just majestically blowing in the breeze and shit. Does he pay somebody to walk him around with a fan in front of him all the time?
There's regular Instagram, there's influencer Instagram, and then there's like Momoa secret low-key Instagram. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I concur. I believe that in my heart that's what's up.
That's what I'm hoping, and I'm going to scour the internet tonight for the Momother load and see if I can just find it.
Yeah. I think besides Leica or Olympus, I think my other dream sponsor would be some kind of food. Like, I don't know what kind of food it would be, but any kind of food, I would eat it. We would just talk about the food all day. Like,
yeah,
it could be like the McRib, that we could be sponsored by the McRib.
Even if they gave us the money. Jamie, the McRib. The McRib is like, it's like a childhood crush, right? You know this beautiful person in your life, you grew up with them, you idolize them. You're like, man, if I ever got the opportunity, if I ever got thin enough or rich enough or cool enough, or I played in a band, if I did something to get their attention and I could have them just pay attention and fall over me. And like Dreamweaver would start to play and there'd be picket fences. And you'd be like, yeah, you're like, yeah, I work a steady job where I can make over $100K a year and health insurance is paid for and everything's A-OK. Fuck yeah. And every so often I get to hit that. Yes. Yes, please. I'm about that life.
McRib is the trophy wife.
McRib in your brain is the trophy wife. Right. Now, in reality, McRib is that same person, only you Facebook stalked him for a while because you haven't seen him in forever. And then all of a sudden you see him posting up like 9/11 memes and like truther shit. And Ooh. Yeah, and you're like, oh no. Ooh,
no,
really conflicted because like you see photos of them in like sexy lingerie and you're like, okay, all right, like I'm weirdly into this. You're a little voyeuristic, you're a little friendly, you're a lot of fun, you're great looking, and then you just realize they're awful on the inside, Jamie. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
The McRib is awful on the inside.
Yeah, you've
don't
convinced
eat
me.
The McRib.
You've convinced
it's
me.
It's terrible.
We don't want it's McRib. Terrible. We don't want McRib money. We want Iron Age money. We want Iron Age to like...
Right, because
yeah.
The other thing to take into account with the McRib, and please do this if you haven't done it already. If you have a friend who obsesses about the McRib, don't hang out with that person. Because they're not actually interested in substance. They're sad and they're alone. They need a hug from someone the fuck else that isn't you, because you need to avoid them. I'm genuinely serious about this. Like, don't get excited about things that look good that only show up from time to time.
Pumpkin spice is okay, but McRib is no good.
No. Pumpkin spice is delicious. It ends up in pies. I'm a happy camper. Nobody's putting the McRib in a pie.
Oh.
Right. Oh. See, even the thought of that is like, yeah, like, Jamie, it's a false equivalency. You can't have McRib flavored add anything the fuck else. You don't even want a McRib flavored McRib.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. See, yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's gross. All right.
You deserve better. You know what we could do? Because we are aficionados, but we are on the go. We could get a quality sponsorship with Arby's.
Ooh.
They have that art tie-in with the sauce mm-hmm. art and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. They have the meats. They have a great marketing campaign. They're a lot of fun. Those curly fries are the bomb.
I love the curly fries. Do they still have the pork belly sandwich?
I don't know, but they can probably bring that back.
Because that shit was the bomb, man. If you want a heart attack to go, that was it. That was
perfect.
Yeah, that was it. I would do Arby's.
Just right. The ability to just have a card where I could just walk into any Arby's, put that down on the table, and suddenly a bacon, beef, and cheddar just appears before me.
Yeah.
Just like, oh,
yeah,
you're a platinum member, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
We have the meats. And I'd be like, you're damn right you do.
We don't need money. We don't need money for this sponsorship thing. We'll take a thing or like the ability to get a thing. Like if you put food in front of our face, we will take that sponsorship. Like we don't need the cash. We'll take the food.
So I'm convinced nobody will actually go back and hear this, but here's what I'm saying. If we get Arby's, this full stop, like legit. If we get a sponsorship with Arby's and we get that option to be able to go into our local Arby's with like a credit card that is only approved for like Arby's purchases, I'll make sure that I have Arby's once a day and I will work out so fucking hard and never post about it that I'll make it look like I lost weight eating Arby's. I'll be fucking two a day in it. And then I'll just be posting photos of me just killing fucking roast beef sandwiches. Like, this is how this works, guys. That's right. Yeah. Perfection comes in an absolutely beautiful silver wrapper. That's what it does.
Oh, man. God. That would be.
Bing Rames brings the thunder.
We have the meats.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they got the guy who voiced Archer and Bob's Burgers. Like, fuck it. It's perfect. It's perfect. H. John Benjamin is what I'm thinking of. So I'm sure somebody's yelling at me.
And you know one of them, someone on their staff is a super weeb because, like, they do, like, they did a Gundam thing with, like, their cardboard art. Like, you know one of them is a super weeb. So it's, like, it's kind of in our wheelhouse.
It's totally in our wheelhouse.
Except they do Pepsi products.
Look, we can talk about the Yum brand and what they did to you as a young child. But the important thing is that we're going to pay for this, Jamie, and we're going to hit both demos. We're going to hit me, which are guys who usually look like they're eating at Arby's, and you, that new untapped market that they're looking for of guys who don't look like me eating at Arby's. It's a new subset of just you just walking up to the camera and going, hey, my name's Jamie Noguchi, and Arby's is
pretty okay. You should probably eat there. I just watch the fucking numbers just fucking skyrocket.
That's right, man. Because we are influencers.
Like, genuinely, Jamie. Like, and I'm pretty convinced that if you just went on to TV, just on an Arby's commercial, the people who are watching Arby's commercials don't know you're not Andrew Yang. Just fucking claim it. Just go on there.
You get $1,000. You get $1,000.
That's what I'm saying. $1,000. Right. I'm handing out universal income and the meats. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yang. Oh, my God. All right, Brandon Chalmers.
Yep.
What are you geeking on?
So I finally pulled the trigger and I decided to start playing around with Lightroom.
Ooh.
Ooh, I know. Yeah, we fancy. So I decided to take it upon myself once we had our away mission at that one there super art fight show that we've been talking about for so many weeks. And I didn't get as many photos with my fisheye lens as I'd like, but I thought, you know what? It's high time if I'm going to start really enjoying taking photos, I need to understand the rest of the process. It's not just going out there and shooting. Cause like if I'm prepping a shot or I'm taking a landscape shot or something like that, I have the ability to work very slow and frame everything and work on light that way and be able to do it that way. If I'm just taking photos of people or things that are happening or just real world shit, I need to know how to properly edit. And if I'm going to learn how to properly edit, I should probably be using one of the major market tools and something that is genuinely easier to use than the thing that I was already using. So I decided to dig into it, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. And if you follow me on Instagram or on Facebook, you saw some of the photos that I took, and I'm really actually proud of them, especially that photo of Kelsey.
Yeah. That one looked great. So are what version of Lightroom did you get? Cause I know there's like a bare bones one that I think you can purchase outright, but then there's like the subscription thing.
The subscription one.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you went in, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So, but yeah, it was super easy to learn. The learning curve is good. There are a bunch of presets, but I decided to just upload a photo and just start cropping a little bit, which I felt comfortable with, and then just start playing with the settings. And as you hover over them, it describes what they do. And you can see the real interaction and you can dig super fucking deep into it or you can kind of tiptoe your way into it. But
awesome, man.
It's not intimidating, which I was really expecting it to be.
Yeah. It's not going to yell at you. Don't touch that lever. Don't touch that one.
More importantly, it doesn't necessarily punish you for playing around with settings because you can see the stuff move in real time and see how things interact with each other. And like, obviously there's a ton of fucking YouTube tutorials or whatever it is, but like, I would say I'm a very hands-on learner. And when I get frustrated with something, I'll absolutely look something up. Like, I don't understand how to do this specific thing. Okay, cool. But to be able to just jump in, pick a photo that I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm really happy with this photo to start with. I need to tighten it up.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So did you, when you were going around with your fisheye, were you shooting in RAW or were you shooting JPEG?
Shooting in RAW because you yelled at me about shooting in RAW.
Yeah.
Trying to play around with focus peaking because that lens has such little focal ability.
Oh, yeah. The thing is brutal.
It's real brutal, but it's more just kind of learning the distance and kind of the sweet spot of it and realizing that, like, I think I posted 6 photos. I took 140 of them.
Oh, wow.
So the learning curve is steep, like make no mistake. But I did decide to stick with the lens pretty much all night. I took a few photos with my 50 and I was like, nah, you know what? I want to learn how to properly use this.
Yeah.
And getting a chance to take some of the shots that I posted, especially ones before like the crowd got in there.
Yeah.
Autobar's got some really rad lighting when people are up on stage and it plays around with it. Cause I know you were playing around with your flash the whole time. And you have got me thinking about like, maybe I need to get a flash. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that with that. Like, I kind of like the lighting challenges that the naturalness in that room create.
It's tough in low light because I think the fisheye was like a F8 or something or F11 or something like that, where like pretty much everything is in focus. But the problem is it takes so long for the shutter to click that like you're getting weird motion. Like if people are running around and it's an art fight. So you know, there's some shots where like if you're following the motion, you can get this interesting motion blur when you click it. But right. if you're not like being arty and shitty like that, it's tough.
See, I was trusting in the fact that the shots that I really enjoyed were either people who were giving me a hard time, like Kelsey, who would absolutely stand there and ham it up for a second.
Yeah.
Or they're part of the band who were genuinely trying to look cool when they were practicing. So I knew if it's like, hey, do me a favor, throw a foot up on that speaker. So long as I took it like low and slightly far back, if I got guitar and crotch, I was good. Like everything else can get washed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking for that bread basket.
Yeah. That's awesome. That sounds like a lot of fun. And yeah. And Lightroom, man, there are things called lookup tables or LUTs. And there are a bunch of people who sell like their own like LUTs and stuff. But you could pretty much change everything in Lightroom. Like you can change the temperature of the photo. You can change like, you can make a black and white, you could do like high chroma, all this other kind of shit. And people sell like that's the big thing for like photography, YouTube, get my LUT pack so you can get your shit to look really sweet and stuff. And it's just like, I guess, there are a few places that give free ones away. So you can at least see what other people are doing. It'll give you a good baseline to kind of start with and just kind of fuck around with things.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a lot of fun. And you did the subscription, which is crazy. Cause it's not like Hulu. Like you can't sit and chill and watch it with somebody. You have to sit on your computer and, you know, you have to have photos to edit. So now we got to keep shooting stuff.
I got a backlog that I want to tear through, and yeah, it's going to force me to do it.
Nice. And you'll get frustrated when you open up a couple of JPEGs where you want to change the exposure and you can only go so far. And it's like,
well, luckily you yelled at me pretty early on in my photo taking. So hopefully I'll be okay.
Nice. That's exciting. Yep.
So what the hell are you geeking out about?
Oh my gosh, Brandon. So the weekend before, like not this past weekend, but weekend before, we went to our house and we got a sandwich from Bird.
Yeah. Yes.
So this past weekend, Saturday, we went down to Arlington and there's a mall, Ballston Mall. You've probably never been to Ballston Mall. There's no reason you should go to Ballston Mall. Even in its heyday.
I'm sorry, wait. Time out. Are you saying Ballston?
Yes, Ballston.
As in Boston, but balls.
Ballston, yeah. Ballston.
Fair enough. All right. Should have been calling it that all along. All right, go on.
Ballston. Their claim to fame now is that the Capitals, the national champion Washington Capitals, have their practice arena at Ballston. So you can go hang out and watch the players do their hockey thing and stuff. But before that, it was just a shit mall. And it's still kind of a shit mall. they've redone it. They've redone the interior. So it's they've got interesting spaces now. Like it's this big vaulted ceiling. They've got like a selfie alley where these murals are up so you could take your selfies and all this kind of bullshit.
Nice.
There are no stores in Ballston. Like they're still trying to attract shops, but there's shit all there. Like this is a sad sack of a mall.
Why were you there?
Because Brandon Chalmers, they redid their food court. They redid their food court. Like they went hard in the paint in their food court. Like before their food court was like, here's a Sbarro, here's the Arby's, but not like a good Arby's, like a shit Arby's. Here's
Jamie Noguchi. There's no such thing as a shit Arby's. Let's be clear here.
I mean,
they have the meats.
They didn't have the meats. They always ran out of shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to defend that.
It was a poorly stocked Arby's. They had like a Popeyes, but like a bad Popeyes. They had like,
I'm familiar with bad Popeyes. Yeah, that's normal.
They had a Panda Express, but like they forgot to put the gas on the express lane and they didn't pay their easy pass fare because that shit was slow and awful. Like it was like also ran mall. Like you know, they had franchise stores, but the people working them, it was just like, there was no heart in it. It was a sad state. It was a sad mall, sad food.
I would love to see you walking around going, son of a bitch, you work at JCPenney. You show a little fucking respect to open a penny. You hear me? You know how hard jobs are to come by? You're going to sit here half-ass slumping over this counter? God damn it.
You're dishonoring J. You're dishonoring C. You're dishonoring Penny.
God damn it. Yeah. There's other C's. There's another one that has a music factory. There's like the candy one. You're just pissing all sorts of C's off. That's all I'm saying.
So they got rid of all the franchise restaurants because they weren't bringing it anyway. They got rid of and it's all like new local stuff. They've got a noodle bar, like a proper noodle bar. They got like a sushi place. They got a barbecue joint. They got a like gourmet donut place, like big ass donuts. And they have a fried chicken place that has the fried chicken sandwiches that are like Bird, but they went a different direction. So I got their claim to fame is they do the Nashville style, ooh, the Nashville hot chicken plus plus Szechuan style. So they mix the two. So it's like a mix of Szechuan style and Nashville hot. And they just kind of do like this weird blend. So I was like, I gotta try this chicken sandwich.
Yeah, that's a special kind of pain you're bringing on. Szechuan Nashville.
And I got like their OG. Like when I go to a new place, I try to get their signature thing because that's a good barometer. That's a good like baseline. Right. So I got their OG spicy chicken sandwich, which had like the mixture of the Szechuan pepper and like it wasn't their nuclear hot Nashville style, but it was like, you know, their
interpretation.
Yeah, it was still toasty. And boy, howdy, that was a good ass chicken sandwich with the pickles and oh my God. Oof. Like it's got that spice where it kind of sits with you and like,
it
like warms your belly. It's like you have like a little oven in your tummy and it's just like,
oh, see,
it's
yes,
glowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, what you're experiencing, Jamie, because I know you don't do it very often, you're experiencing brown liquor is what you're experiencing. it's that like, oh, that's got legs, that's strong. And then all of a sudden it works its way down. It just sits right in the top of your stomach.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, right on, furnace is on. Right. Okay, all right, we're here. This is what's happening right now.
And it's a good feel. The pickles are good. The little slaw, I usually hate coleslaw, but the slaw that they have on there, it's a nice roughage to kind of mix it in there. Yeah,
that makes sense. The slaw is always on top of like proper barbecue or something like that. It's a nice mix of like, it's like having that dollop of sour cream on spicy taco. Like just that littlest bit of hope that like, yeah, I'll cool this down. And then that thing fucking van dams the door off the hinges.
Yeah. But it was a good ass sandwich. It was a good ass sandwich. And I was sad, not because it was a good ass sandwich, not because it was
you didn't fucking invite me for one.
Well,
which
that made me sad.
Like offline, you and I are going to have a fucking conversation. Let's be clear about that.
We are going to have to take a trip down to Arlington anyway, because there is the Cinema and Draft House, and there is no better place to watch a movie than the Cinema and Draft House. The Cinema and Draft House is like 10 minutes away from the mall. So we will get our eat on. We will get our movie on where we can get our movie on, and you can get your beer on while we're watching the movie.
I think you're forgetting that I can like Grubhub Bonchon and I have a 70-inch TV in my living room. So there's an argument to be had that I could technically have spicy chicken. I could toast me own buns and I could hang out and watch everything and not have to be in Virginia. And Jamie, I don't think you understand how much I love not being in Virginia.
That's why I didn't invite you, because I know of your love for our neighbors to the south. I know.
Yeah. You know, let's just call that a general rule until we get into like Georgia. Just everything in between can just kind of, I don't know, like chill on a plantation and just try not to do anything too racist for a while. I don't know what else to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ballston. So the thing that made me sad is the rest of the mall physically came up, but none of the stores are there. So there's no other reason for people to come to this place.
And gotcha. So it's going to die a very slow death.
They need to advertise it better or whatever, or get some good stores in there, because like they've got like these fancy hipstery artisanal restaurants down there. And it's great. It's like our house. It's like an our house situation, except there's an entire mall on top of it. So like imagine our house is in the basement and then there's like a shit mall on top of it. And that's...
See, I think this may... They may be onto something though, because if they manage to get hockey there... If there's one thing I've learned about hipsters that look like me, like especially like me, I fucking love hockey. Like, I don't know why that seemed to be the sport that they went with, where it's like, it's more accessible than rugby, but a little too hard to really follow the right way. Yeah, plus like fighting. I don't know what it is. Yeah, like it's weird. Like it's almost too much equipment for anyone to reasonably play. So like nobody really is like, oh yeah, I know what I play. Like unless you've got that like strong Canadian accent, nobody's buying your shit. Like yeah. If you got a southern drawl and you're like, yeah, man, that's right. I grew up playing hockey. That's right. Hockey. Staying indoors, hockey. Hitting that ass the yeah. thickest.
Well, thickest yeah. ass. No,
nobody is buying that. Yeah.
but the other thing, there are really great chicken sandwiches. So Ballston has a great chicken sandwich. Baltimore, our house, has a great chicken sandwich. Yep. Near me, I haven't found a similar style chicken sandwich yet.
Oh no. You've only got like all of the other great fucking food. You have so much culture around there and you are pitching a fit about a fucking chicken sandwich.
Well, no, here's the thing.
You like, privileged bitch. God damn it.
The thing that I don't quite understand is now I don't know if the Popeye's chicken sandwich is any good. But it's certainly not as good as the bird sandwich that we got. And it's certainly not as good as the Lulu sandwich that I had this past weekend.
That's to be understandable, though, Jamie. Like, I'm pretty convinced that the Popeye's chicken sandwich is on a sliding scale of chicken sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw the comparison, it was like the Popeye's chicken sandwich, the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, and the fucking McChicken from McDonald's is like, we're going to compare this nationally recognized sandwich to this fucking hate group filled sandwich and this dollar menu discount. Like, no, yeah. Of course it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. But my thing is, I think there are better chicken sandwiches for, well, I don't know. They're not as cheap because the Popeye's chicken sandwich is much cheaper than the Our House chicken sandwich.
Don't fucking judge a sandwich based on its price. You understand? Like, Jamie, let me smarten you up here for a second, and let me give you an idea of the dumb shit that I have spent money on. There's a place called Walrus, right?
Yeah.
There's one down at the Columbia Mall, and then there's one at National Harbor.
Goo goo gajoob.
They have a lobster roll.
Ooh.
That is a fucking game changer.
Wait, what is this place called? Walrus?
Walrus.
Walrus?
Yeah, Cuckoo Cachoo. Yeah.
They got one at Columbia Mall?
They got one at Columbia Mall.
Oh shit. I'm go climbing at Columbia. I might go
fucking. See? Mall. Yeah. Now hang on a second though. Because you're gonna look at that menu and you're gonna get down to this lobster roll. And they've got a stamp on it with some sort of accredited place calling it the top 50 sandwich in the nation.
Roll from Boston.
Right. Now they claim this sandwich is on the top 50 sandwiches in the nation.
Mm.
I don't know where they're claiming that accreditation from, but good for them for being ballsy enough to do it, because they have to. Because Jamie Noguchi, the sandwich is $30.
Okay.
It's a $30 sandwich. Now, please understand.
Mm.
If I told you that, hey, you're going to get fresh, delicious, buttery lobster and a side of some of the best fries you've ever had.
Hmm.
$30 doesn't seem super unreasonable.
True, 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 true.
But once we split a freshly baked buttery roll, climb that bad boy open, right?
and just lovingly pile that shit on top. Suddenly we're like, well, you need to drive the price point down about $12. Like, why? Why?
Yeah.
So yeah. I told myself, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to pull the trigger on the sandwich. Jamie's one of the best fucking things I've ever had.
No shit. I might have to check. I might have to check that out tomorrow.
It's real goddamn
good. Not gonna lie, I might have to climb an extra half hour to.
Yeah, like get your fucking money's worth out of your gym membership, okay? Okay, so that's what's happening. Yeah, because it's real fucking good.
Well, no, I guess my point is that like I don't understand why people are freaking out over this Popeye's chicken sandwich when there are likely other places near you that have better chicken sandwiches that you don't risk getting stabbed in line for whatever you reason.
Still, well, okay, let's be clear. That's more of a Baltimore thing than a chicken sandwich thing. But I'm sorry, know thy city. But that's, it's probably the best chicken sandwich you don't have to get out of your car for.
Yeah.
Like yeah. That's really what it is. It's, yeah. It's like, you know, how much do I enjoy reggae music? Oh, I really don't. How much do I enjoy reggae music when I'm on a beach drinking rum out of a coconut? Like, this fucking thing is a jam. Bob Marley's a goddamn genius. Like, I'm spouting all sorts of dumb shit. Like, it's all about, like, yeah, you're moving the bar at that point. Like, if I went,
right.
Okay, Jamie, now let me ask you a question. What's the best fries you don't have to get out of your car for under $5. See what I mean? Mm. Now you're immediately going, you're throwing a ton of things out the window. No more Five Guys.
No more Five Guys.
No more Five Guys. You have to get out of your car.
Yeah.
There's no Royal Farms option. You can't go with the big steak fries. So now you're immediately going fast food.
Yeah.
And now you're playing this game. Now I think I know where you're going to end up back with. I think I know where you're going to go.
Yeah.
And those golden curly cues of deliciousness from our good friends at Arby's. Arby's. That's right. Arby's. Eat it.
Bling. Yeah.
Like kind of thing is like, of course, the chicken sandwich is good for a fucking fast food chicken sandwich. It's probably head and shoulders above any other fast food chicken sandwich you've had.
That's true.
Big deal.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I forget the convenience thing because like, I don't know, when we go to a place to eat, I don't care. Like I'll sit there, I'll wait for however long the fuck it takes. Like, you know, right. I'll spend time right. at the place, even if it's like a fast food joint. Like, I don't give a shit. Like getting food quickly is not a big deal for me. So I forget that like that's why it's fast food, because it's fucking convenient. You don't have to leave.
And like, don't get me wrong. If we're going to rank like fast food burgers or chicken sandwiches or french fries, sure. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't rank a fucking Burger King Whopper against a Five Guys burger. It's not the same thing.
No.
Like you can't do that. So I'm not going to sit down there and unwrap a Popeye's chicken sandwich and then go down to our house and grab the same sandwich we got from Bird and say, well, they're equivalent. And, you know, on the plus side, the Popeye's chicken sandwich, $4. And it's like, is the other chicken sandwich twice as good at $9? And I'm going to fucking say confidently, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm not hunched over my car seat trying to eat it. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, like Popeye's chicken sandwich is tasty. But much like the McRib, don't get drawn in to what you think looks good. Substance matters.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So yes, we have chicken sandwiches near us. Takes a little bit longer for me to get them, but we have chicken sandwiches near us, kind of, sort of.
You know, I was worried that Virginia wasn't cultured enough for a fried chicken sandwich, but thank goodness they managed to meet that bar. Good for you, Virginia.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Got to try the noodle bar and the sushi joint. Those look good.
That's an interesting call.
Yeah. We'll see.
I've been trying to broaden my mind about sushi. I have a friend who lives in like up north in like Eldersburg, and I made a joke about the local sushi place because there's no other like sushi place anywhere. And it's victory or death.
Mm.
And turns out it was victory. Nice. Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Right. But when I saw it and I drove by for the first time, I'm like, that's questionable as fuck.
There's
because you're doing that real estate of like, well, there's a lot of diesel pickups around. Walmart seems like a thing to do on a Friday when you're bored.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go get sushi.
Ooh.
See? Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Turns out I'm the terrible person, Jamie. See?
I would try once.
Star wipe, the more you know.
I'd try once. I will eat gas station sushi at least once. I'll give a shit. I'll try it once.
Fair enough.
I'll try it once.
I forget you're adventurous that way with sushi. I'm not adventurous that way with sushi. I'll eat questionable fried things from a number of different places.
Yeah.
But I will not necessarily go with the raw fish from the 7-Eleven like counter thing where it's like, I can't tell if that's a price tag or a date sticker.
Yeah.
But it says $3.99 on it. And I'm real confused. Like, yeah.
I will eat
yeah,
it.
Once. Yeah. Like, right. Like, is that 09? Is that 19? Like, where are we at? Why does it say March? What's going on?
like that, that pink gas station sausage that's like a little too pink.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't get down with anything that is pickled in that weird pink brine.
Yeah.
Like, pig's feet, so eggs, those weird sausages. I don't get down with any of them. Like, there's a kind of a general rule. I don't eat anyone or anything that's color. They're like, that's just a rule.
This is
congratulations. This is, you have a cat.
It's Tiki. She makes out with me when I'm working. Like, she'll stick her face in, like, try to eat my face.
I think we might need to talk about your definition of making out. Because sticking her face in your face and trying to bite you is, you know, like, good for you. Don't let me kink shame you, but we might need to have a conversation. I'm here for it. You can just keep doing that face, Jamie, for the next, I don't know, 7 minutes or so. I'm going to turn my camera off and you just keep that going.
Go to town. Did you try any of the raw fish, or was it just like the California roll or like the rolls and stuff?
No, I had some rolls. I've had the blah, 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 blah. I got some of the tuna there. I got some of the shrimp there. Like, I haven't gotten adventurous into it. I'm really not a big fan of eel, so I haven't had to dig into any of that. I find it too oily for me.
Okay.
But we can definitely take you up there and get like a real judgment call. But like, had a couple different style rolls. I've had the cooked stuff. I had the incredibly like prepped raw stuff. It's tasty. It's fucking good. It's consistent too. I've eaten there a couple times and it's consistently good.
There's a place in DC off MacArthur Boulevard, Kotobuki. It's the most affordable place in the area. Like, I don't know how they managed to keep their prices so low. Oh, we have word from Audrey off screen that they may have changed their pricing scheme. But for a while, they used to be the most affordable place in the city. And gotcha. Me and Charlie, have you met Charlie? I don't know if you've met Charlie, my friend Charlie. Anyway, before he got celiac and all that kind of stuff, like, me and him would ruin that place. Like, we would go in and like just fist
dropping plates.
Just like dropping, like, the way we the way we attack Iron Age is the way we attacked Kotobuki with
now,
sushi.
It's now, like, is this one of those like rotating plate joints?
No, it's not.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
Good on you, sir. As someone who has sat next to you while you have single-handedly destroyed a fucking sushi boat like an iceberg in the middle of the fucking ocean. Like, you just, I literally was like, that sushi boat showed up. And in my head, all I heard was Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On, because it's like, I know this boat's going down. Like, there's no question about it.
That was a good day. That was a really good day.
Yeah, I miss those days. Back when things were fun.
All right, Brandon.
Yep.
So we had another away mission.
We did.
Both of us were at I ended up going to the Super Art Fight.
You did.
You brought your camera. I brought my camera.
You did.
I'm not sure how to approach this. So
don't.
So there's the way we could do it. Like if we're like wrestling fans where we do a recap of the matches and be like, what'd you see? What was good? And this kind of thing.
Okay.
Which I think would be the safest way to do it.
Okay.
Because, you know, we were there to support our friends and to check out a lot of the newer performers.
Hang on a second. Friends is a strong statement because really we made it very clear who we were there to support.
That's true.
We were there to see Kelsey.
Kelsey, right.
That's the absolutely only reason I would grace those doors.
That's true. And I did leave after Kelsey's match, so.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other thing to unpack. So you can explain to our good, close, personal friend, Chris Scott, why you just were like, oh, Chris is coming up. I got to go catch a flight, guys. Am I driving home? Yes, I am. All right, I'll see you guys later.
But yeah, I think the way to do it is to go round by round, give our impressions. It's weird for me to be at a show and not be helping out and stuff. So it was,
yeah. As somebody who's been, this is now the second one that I've been to, it's fucking weird not jumping in.
Yeah. And when they're up on stage, it's difficult not to want to just kind of, go to the side and yell at them and say, hey, do this or that, or help steady the rig, or like all this background stuff that you and I used to do when we were there. So it was fortunate that both of us had a camera because it prevented us from like overstepping our bounds. Like, you know,
sure.
Yeah. The camera's there to help prevent you from being a shithead and like, jump in and stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, in my case, I don't think it prevented very much. I probably could have taken another, I don't know, 300 photos. So there's that whole thing. But
but a lot of the new people, this is the first time I've seen them perform. So that was cool. It was great for me to see like the newer people to come by. So I think the best way to do it is to like do a recap, like we're a wrestling podcast.
Okay, cool.
And not go into the shoot stuff that.
Okay, right on. All right. So we're gonna keep it kayfabe is what kayfabe. We're gonna do.
Keep the kayfabe.
Okay. All right. We're gonna keep it kayfabe. ironically, I'm in my basement, so I am prepped for a wrestling podcast at the moment. I'm pretty sure I know more than I actually do, which is important for a wrestling podcast. So
pretty sure.
I'm feeling saucy. I think I'm ready to get into this thing. So. Jamie Noguchi, are we just going to start with, are we going to start with entrances? Are we going to start with the first match? How do you want to do this?
Let's talk about it like we're doing a wrestling podcast. So what would you talk about on a wrestling show?
So first thing I want to talk about is stage presence. Okay.
Yes.
As someone who has experienced a super art fight before, I was an amateur super art fighter. I understand it. I came up through the indies. I get it. Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Right. Can we talk about Adam's outfit? Because
yes.
I am so fucking mad that I caught shit about changing out a t-shirt from my ref stripes. Motherfucker shows up in his own suit.
Yeah. Yeah. He was on point. He did you proud. Like he was
good.
He like
good. And yeah. I dare say new standing champion of the best ass in art fight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I've checked.
Yeah.
I've thoroughly inspected. I know for a fact Adam's ass is the best ass in art fight.
Yeah. And I think him dressing up brings like a new,
it's a new energy.
Yeah. It's a new energy to the proceedings. It's like everyone else has to step up their game. Like he's going to step up his game. He's going to come out there and like command a different kind of energy. So that was nice to see.
Ironically, Jamie Noguchi, I put my whistle down and he, in his full ska regalia, came fucking slam dancing in and picked it up.
Oh my God.
Good for him. Solid entrance. 10 out of 10 wood entrance again. So big shout out to Adam. Okay. Now,
yeah.
No more notes on entrances. Moving along. All right. First match.
Titanium versus Rave Royale.
Yes, Titanium versus Rave Royale. Okay, so I was at the Black Cat. I got a chance to actually see the two of them in singles competition. Rave Royale taking on Stevie Speed and Titanium taking on Baron Von Sexenfuls. So I got a chance to see the two of them stretch their legs, so to speak, and be able to get a chance to hit the canvas and do a great job. Both of them walking away that evening in DC with a victory. Now being pitted against each other for the number one contender spot, a tough spot having to do two shows in one night.
Now I have some, like any wrestling podcast, I have some rumors about Titanium and Rave Royale.
Really? Okay. So from the hot dirt sheets of Uncle James,
I have a hot sheet about them. Apparently they were going to be tag team partners for this particular show. And a last minute change changed everything. So they know each other's style well. They've worked with each other in the past. They know the ins and outs of each other's techniques.
They do know each other very well. And Jamie Noguchi, I would ask the question, like any good dirt sheet aficionado, knowing that I'm a smart mark, I'm trying not to let the system play me. I know Vince always wins. I ask the question of you right now. Who is the number one contender now that Titanium has the belt? Because
that's a good question.
You saying that they were going to be a tag team begs my real question, who would have been the number one contender? And I don't know if you can answer that question, so I dare say the idea of them being a tag team is a fucking work. It's a fucking work. All right. Moving along, let's get to the meat of the match.
All right.
Jesus Christ, are they good? Rave Royale is outstanding. Yeah. She has the look. She has the capability. She came out strong, hitting a Taco Bell reference right for the thing that, what was it? It was the Thanksgiving topic of what are you thankful for?
Yes.
Immediately starting with that fourth meal, love. Making a connection. And this is the difficult part of me, Jamie. I had one person making a Taco Bell connection. I had one person that was dressed like King Diamond, and my loves were torn.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great to see like that instant connection with an audience, because sometimes when we've had newer competitors on stage, they either wilt under pressure or their personality disappears and they'll draw something really cool, but like their personality isn't there. And that was not the case with these two. It felt like two seasoned veterans up on stage, like,
giving it 100%. And I really look forward to seeing the two of them move forward. I look forward to seeing more character development from Rave Royale. I want to know what else is there. Yeah. I want to see what she's into. I want to know more about her. Like, I love the slide whistle and the look is outstanding. I want to know what else is there. I cannot wait to see her hit the canvas more and more and more and grow with the audience over time. It's going to be outstanding to see.
And also, I notice a higher quotient of glitter than normal. And I believe that is due to Rave Royale's influence.
I also have a dirt sheet backstage knowledge about this. The glitter quotient in the Super Hard Fight locker room is literally sixfold since Rave Royale hit that locker room.
Yeah.
Glitter akimbo, glitter for days.
Do we know if it's environmentally friendly glitter?
It is environmentally friendly glitter. They have gone full green.
Nice.
Not markers, but definitely all of the other materials are all recyclable. So
nice. Very
good
cool.
for them.
Very cool.
We headed out and they went full biodegradable. Good for them.
Nice.
Big shout out to the boys.
Congratulations. Titanium took the match, which means she was going for the title. Rave Royale did a great job. She actually invited me to the show. So like, of all the people we've known, like she consistently invites me to stuff. And I'm like,
really? So she consistently, so what you're saying is, and we'll get to her in a minute, but Red Aaron, the quote unquote nicest person in Art Fight, didn't actually invite you to the show.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope. No message from Red Aaron at all.
That seems weird. That seems real weird. Like odd even, you know, Jamie, I'd like to double back to somebody who actually makes a genuine connection with the audience, which is Titanium.
Oh yes.
Because
I have rarely ever seen in my experience somebody who makes such a connection with the audience by communicating so little with actual words.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The grunts are great. Like the metal stuff, like she hits the stage. It's a whirlwind. There's so much energy coming out. It's like
full fucking presence is what it is. Like it proves that a bit of corpse paint and you can rule the world if you really mean it that much.
I feel like if we get, her and Valkyrie as a tag team, we would have our own Legion of Doom, just like running roughshod over everybody, blowing things up.
See, and I would wonder the other side of this is you let Titanium corrupt someone else. You take someone in the audience. You take someone in the locker room, like maybe a two drink Alex, and just have them go super hard in the other direction.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Like, yeah, right. You find out like you can get drunk with power and immediately just start just chugging goat's blood, and it'll be awesome.
Or Stompadon with war paint.
Oh, that's good.
Mm.
That's super good. Mm. Yeah.
And so instead of rah rah rah, it'd be like rah rah rah.
Yes, I'm all about hearing Stompadon speak more Welsh than they're already speaking.
All right, round two. Red Aaron versus
Slash LaRue.
Slash LaRue.
Yes. So I don't. Okay. So a couple things so that everyone understands behind the scenes. I work with Slash LaRue. I am super over the moon proud of the performance that they put on that stage.
Oh yeah.
Flat out, no like podcast bullshit about it.
Yeah.
Out fucking standing.
Yeah, they did a great job.
the genuine notes that I could put on that, and I wouldn't mind telling anybody this, including Slash, character development is out of this fucking world and knocked everybody on their ass right from the beginning and continued to do so the entire match, especially the ending after they won. I cannot wait to see them hit the stage more and more to get more reps, to tighten up some of their arts this way. It's able to communicate with the audience a little better.
Yeah.
That'd be the only genuine note I have, but fucking outstanding. And most importantly of all, fucking Red Aaron lost. It is like the warming sun. Like please understand, like I feel like a vampire touching the sun for the first time, realizing they're a daywalker.
Nice.
Like the glory I felt seeing Red Aaron do her, like, I'm so happy for you, which I know she's fucking lying about. And then just walking in the back, just cussing like crazy. Flip the table back there.
Yeah.
Like fucking out of control.
The green room is now like the red room because it's just bloody mess. It really is.
Awful. No, I mean, it's still green with fucking envy over how great Slash LaRue did up there.
Yeah, it was great to see Slash up there. Red Aaron is always a strong competitor, but wasn't enough. Was not enough.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, genuinely, if you didn't get a chance to see it, also the whole thing of Slash LaRue stealing absolutely everything that wasn't bolted down, including one of Red Aaron's topics, which was outstanding.
That's perfect. That's so perfect. Yeah,
like nailing it. And then the bag dump at the end where you realize as part of the bit, Red Aaron trying to bribe the fucking host by bringing out stuff in the beginning, brought a one Ross over a biscuit. Slasher somehow stole one of the biscuits.
It's like, so good. So good.
20 out of 10. 20 out of 10. No other notes.
20 out of 10.
All right.
There was a middle thing. We'll talk about that. Then the tag.
Well, hang on a second. We can't just gloss over that. Like,
Okay.
we have to address that. Okay.
All right.
So Baron Von Sexeville had his band.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
And they sounded good live.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Let's put it this way. You and I have helped book art fights with a lot of bands, a lot of nationally touring bands.
Yes.
Who sounded worlds worse than they sounded up there.
That's true. That's true.
So I would pick them, like, genuinely, I would listen to them over Paul and Storm anytime. After what I saw of Paul and Storm, Anamanaguchi sounded fucking terrible live. I'd listen to them over Anamanaguchi.
Man, we paid a lot for that too. Shit.
No shit we did. Like, there's a lot of fucking bands that we paid for that did not sound nearly as good as they did. So to their credit, did I enjoy necessarily all the songs? No. No, straight up, I didn't. But it was a lot of fun, and good on them for digging into it, and good on them for not breaking kayfabe and having a really good time. Shout out once again to the best ref that I have seen since, well, me, to be able to play drums and fill out that suit with that ass that just will not quit. Mm. So, do me a favor, Jamie, if you could put in the show notes where we discuss Adam's ass, that'd be appreciated.
This is the title of this episode is going to be In Appreciation for Adam's Ass.
The fucking do it pod assed is really what we're talking about. Just
ass of the pod. Yeah.
Yep. So now here's why I wanted to bring this up in this sense, because they hit the stage.
Yes.
And I still to this moment don't understand the difference in between Stevie Speed and Sexy Cool. I assume it's a race suit.
Right.
Okay. We're gonna gloss over that. I don't want to dig too deep into that. That's totally fine.
Was he doing two different personas?
Two different personalities. Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. The fact that you're confused about that is a whole thing, but that's fine. Okay. Now I ask the question reasonably. If you or I went up on stage,
yes,
and we performed. And we did, let's say, a redo of our Chicago classic Young MC's Bust a Move, where I played backup vocals on you.
Yeah.
And then you and I went and tag teamed in a match right afterward.
Yeah.
Do you think people would be happy with us?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a Montreal level screw job.
Wow. I wasn't going quite that far, but I
didn't. See, I wouldn't call it that. I wouldn't call it that. But I feel like, I don't know. I feel like
it's a big hurdle to leap over.
Yeah.
So with that said, next match is the team of Sex Drive taking on the now former Super Art Fight Tag Team Champions, Gods and Monsters.
Yay!
Now, we all know that I have a personal affinity for Gods and Monsters because Kelsey Wales is an absolute just dynamo of a person and a performer.
Yeah. Stompadon is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are full team Stompy all day long. Wisteria's pretty okay.
Wisteria, but
we are full team Stompy all day long.
I'm waiting for a chunkla to just hit you in the back of the head.
No, that's not possible. There's no one else here.
I anytime Stompy is up there, I'm a fan.
Yes,
Stompy and Wisteria are a great pair. Like, the two of them play off each other so well. Like,
yeah.
I was rooting for them. They had some of my favorite pieces up there. Like, the Skeksy that Kelsey drew, that's like a dead chicken kind of thing.
Yes. I fucking hate that topic. Okay, real quick, can we talk about some of the fucking topics?
Yes.
Because that wheel was designed for a 35-year-old man. And as a 35-year-old man, I was fucking bored with that wheel.
Yeah, it seemed...
There was a topic that was Sanders versus the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, it didn't give the artist the best chance to like riff off
be creative.
Yeah.
Put their best foot forward.
Yeah. Like, I feel like some of the topics really did a disservice to the people that were up there. And I always hate to see that, because like, when you're like... behind the curtain, when you're on stage and you get a topic, sometimes you get so in your head that you have to draw that thing. And
right.
A lot of the newer people aren't necessarily going to have the wherewithal to, like, if they get a shit topic and they've already done their respin, to just draw something cool, because you get so locked on stage, you get so locked into, like, I have to draw what's on the wheel. You don't have to draw what's on the fucking wheel. It's a made up competition that we fucking invented. No. Draw whatever the fuck you want. And, right. And like, whenever we would run the boot camps and stuff, and people would get stuck on topics, I would always tell them that, like, forget the fucking wheel. We made up the wheel. The wheel doesn't fucking matter. Draw something cool. Draw something memorable. Draw something that you want to draw. And while you're doing that, you can think of something that might relate to the topic and bring it in, right. Or just, you know. So yeah, I always like to curate a wheel that gives the people the best opportunity to show off what they do.
By the way, curate a wheel is a strong sentiment. If you're going to pull the curtain back a bit, Jamie used to quote unquote curate the wheel like an old fucking John Belushi bit when he dresses a samurai, like just fucking hacking the shit out of that thing. Like yeah. That was half of what took so long to put the wheel together is Jamie would carve it fucking apart. And then we'd have to workshop some of the questionable topics into some good shit.
Yeah, because my goal is to put up our artists, is to put them over. It's to, like, you know, as management, that's your job. So, like,
oh.
That's our job when we were management. I don't know how to phrase this right, because it's hard to separate it.
The wheel is edited before the show starts, and the artists tend to see these wheels in real time. I mean, they get a chance to see the topics beforehand, but kinda. Nobody knows like what pops up when. There's, you know, the Wheel of Death is still a random topic generator in that sense.
Yeah.
Very similar to how, you know, you've all played Cards Against Humanity. You all see the cards. You know Pac-Man Uncontrollably Guzzling Cum is going to be there somewhere. You just got to get there.
Yeah, and my goal for wheel curation wasn't like, oh, if I can come up with something, then we leave it on the wheel. I was always thinking like, well, I might be able to come up with something, but like, are the majority of our artists on our roster going to be able to come up with something that's interesting? And if the answer was no, then I would cut it. And that's why I went through the fucking wheel every time like a fucking weed whacker, because some of the shit on there was like whacked up shit.
Yeah, I would have never left that Skeksis on Ice topic there.
No,
I mean, I wouldn't have done it.
Kelsey and Wisteria did a great job with it, but like that's
absolutely
because it's in their wheelhouse, like you right. know. But
I can tell you right now, had I had not looked up afterward what it was, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes the wheel can be very insular, and the in jokes. On in jokes, and sometimes those are me, but like I don't know if that's too inside baseball, but like
it's fine, just it's no fart bus. I know that.
I mean fart bus, instant crowd pleaser, because it's a fart bus.
Yeah, it's simple, it's easy to understand, it gives you guys a lot of real estate to play around with.
It's a funny phrase, it's a funny thing to draw, you can draw it however you want, and it's open to a lot of interpretations. It's a classic. Yep. It's a classic fish tank. It's a classic, like cute monsters on fire. Monsters on fire. Monsters versus aliens. Kelsey also did an adorable Wisteria in the bottom right hand corner that somehow managed to stay there the entire time. Like I got a really good photo of it like throughout the night. Nice. And it was just adorable. She's just like,
I look forward to seeing that. Yeah, I do know for a fact the genuine connection between the two of them is very real, and it's goddamn adorable.
Yeah.
And so I can't speak for anyone else on the roster as far as tag teams and dynamic and what have you, but I know the two of them are genuinely great together. So I look forward to seeing them. Hopefully, because I'm racking my brain trying to think of other tag teams on the Super Art Fight roster. Yep. We'll probably see them at the next show. So
nice. And then I had to leave.
Yes.
Because
Chris Scott was hitting the stage. General Storm sketch you knew was coming up. You were like, I have to go wash my hair. I have to go do other things.
I had to keep working on this goddamn book. So instead of staying up till 5 a.m., I had to leave early so I would only stay up till like 4 a.m. So
there you go.
I mean, no other reason than that. Otherwise, I would have stayed. But it's late. It's a late evening. It's a late show. And like,
it's fine. He won't listen. That's fine.
He doesn't listen. That's true. He doesn't listen
until he starts blowing up both of our spots very soon.
Yeah. So this is all you. You're gonna have to report in. Let me know how my former tag team partner fared at his title defense against the whirlwind that is Titanium.
Right out of the gate, interesting start because General Storm Sketch forgot his selfie stick.
Oh no.
And it definitely changed the tone of his entrance.
Oh no.
Yeah. So that was a whole thing to experience.
Oh fuck, where, dude.
Because of that, his entrance didn't feel very special or even like it was firing on all cylinders.
Damn it.
So I felt like he was starting off the back foot in that sense.
Damn it.
Now the other thing to remember about the match layout the way it was is very similarly to how Team Sex Drive ended up having the big momentum coming into the match. Titanium had momentum from the first match. Mm-hmm. So
for sure.
People were excited to see Titanium hit the stage.
That's hard to overcome.
To Titanium's credit, they hit the stage like a goddamn like turbine. Like it was ridiculous. There didn't seem to be any bit of slowdown from Titanium.
That's great.
I'm not sure if like they were just mainlining Red Bull or what was going on backstage. Yeah, like, or if it was just like headphones on and like just listening to the same fucked up Norwegian metal track that they come out to. I think it was I Come Blood, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not 100% sure. But like just backstage, just headphones on, just glowing like fucking worst dad on the planet, Goku, like just prepping for the match. Just and it's just Goku. Game time, just headphones off, and just yeah, like the main riff hits, and then Titanium just hits the fucking stage, and it was on. I don't even like remember per se them shouting 3-2-1 Art Fight. I remember Titanium's energy, and then a lot of brooding and standing. And then a look over at General Storm Sketch, a glance at Ross, and then we were off.
Nice.
And it was fucking impressive to watch. And there's no subtle way to say it. I'm convinced that Titanium might be the best art fighter we've seen come out of a boot camp.
Nice. Nice.
I would argue that right now on that roster, there's three people who could probably beat Titanium. Baramount Saxville, mm-hmm. who just lost to Titanium.
Yep.
So I think that's more just a war of attrition, right crowd. Stompadon, yep. Based on Adorminus and just not knowing what to do with Stompadon.
Yeah.
And the last one, the one that I mentioned before, Two Drink Alex.
That
dude's got a weird energy that slows everything the fuck down.
Yeah.
And you lose all that momentum. Cause like, if you get like Titanium coming out first, like maybe not necessarily for the belt, but like you get Titanium coming out first, full fucking like core fit and the whole nine, the gauntlets and the fucking rocking out and the vest and the whole thing. And then they're standing there. And then Alex fucking just, hey, man, what's going on? And just suddenly, like, tone changes. Like,
yeah,
scratch the fucking Norwegian black metal record and just, like, Doobie Brothers comes on. And you're like, yeah, it's a bit all right. I'm down with this. This is good. It's a good jam. Like, I genuinely, I wish that Alex went and got his own markers, because if he worked in browns and maroons and went like full 70s with that bit,
yeah, nice. Oh, yeah, that's such a good idea.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah, just like just played up that whole thing of just like looks at his jacket, touches up a spot on his jacket, and then immediately just kind of goes right. Into, yeah,
that's a great idea. Oh my god,
fucking digging. But yeah, like it's the idea of 70s rock versus like the Norwegian metal. Like straight up, if Alex came out listening to like fucking like Slow Ride. Right, and just that weird kind of headbombing jam, and just played air guitar to it. Yeah, right. Because the question is, would Titanium actually get into it, or would they try and just not get brought in by that 70s groove, which I think might be impossible?
You can't not bob your head to that shit.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And like the second Titanium bobs their head to this, and you get Two Drink Alex looking back going, I see you. I know, right? Yeah. Huh?
That'd it's be just, fucking yeah. great, yo.
I'm telling you right now.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it too. Alex, we have ideas. You should come hang out with us.
Nice. So, yeah. I mean, from everything we've run down, it seems like the new blood is
the new blood's good.
The new blood is new ready to go. They're real good. Ready to go, man.
Yeah,
they're
like Titanium is a very, very complete art fighter, and given the lack of actual on canvas experience, is really impressive.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm wondering how
long she's a dynamo.
Right. And like my only real question at that point is how long can she keep at that pace? But we will see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But well earned. Everybody had a great show. I had a great evening. I know you had a great evening with everything you saw. I look forward to seeing all of your photos that you post up. So hopefully at some point you'll get a chance to actually get to those. God only knows when.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's all good.
I took a lot.
I figured as much. But yeah, so once again, Super Art Fight is a super, super, super fun show. And if you get the opportunity to go see them and you haven't, you should go see them. Don't let Jamie and I not being involved sour your opinion about it. Go do the thing. Go enjoy. Yeah.
It's a good time. Everybody has a good time. And the Young Blood is worth checking out, you know.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah. If anything, just to be able to shout Red Aaron sucks at Red Aaron. By the way, Jamie, my favorite thing, and I don't know if anyone else noticed it. There were people who I decided did not need to win. And I was not going to pretend about that. And I didn't give those pity claps or anything else like that.
Yeah.
I stood there, arms folded, just shaking my head.
Nice. Funny.
No.
Did anyone come up and ask to get a drink with you? Did any listeners of the pod come up to say, hey?
No one took me up on it. So it's nice to know that we are making that market impact.
Nice.
You hear that, Arby's? Literally no one came up to talk to me. That's right.
Well, I mean, the episode did come out like the day before the show. So I don't know. Maybe if we give our listeners more time to plan ahead, I guess.
Oh, okay. I see what you're doing there. Our listenership is a prepared bunch.
Yeah. They need some time to prepare. So
I get this right on. Okay. All right.
Cause they're
got to tell Art Fight to start scheduling the podcast scheduling everything like right after payday.
Yeah.
So it's the 1st and the 15th is when you guys got to start doing this. That's what it is. Just some low income. Actually, they had a really great attendance, like to their credit.
Yeah.
They had a real good turnout.
It was good. All right. So next week is Turkey Week. I will not be here.
Cool. I'll be recording by myself to no one. So if you'd like to come over and hear me rant about something, you can just shout things at me.
So I guess we'll take a break for next week.
Maybe I'll blow the dust off my Twitter account and you can start shouting things at me.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might do an episode. I don't know. Matt will be there, but like,
don't worry about that. Take the week off.
Yeah. I think it might be easier to just take the week off. So
Matt doesn't want to see me. I don't want to see him. It's fine.
Well, that's why you got an extra long episode this week to make up for the lack of episode next week.
That's right.
Yeah. I planned this. I don't plan anything. Sure. Everybody have a safe Thanksgiving next week. And remember what we said about how to save your Thanksgiving. Just Disney watch Plus. All the Star Wars. Disney Plus and all the Star Wars.
All the Star Wars. Just a reminder for those of you who didn't listen before.
Release
Thanksgiving
order.
Is a time to completely ignore what actually happened to the Native American people. Eat yourself silly with pie and not clap back at your family members. You just turn on Star Wars. You sit at the kids' table and you hang out and you tell them how terrible Jar Jar Binks is.
That's always sit at the kids' table. Like always.
Always sit at the kids' table.
Sit at the kids' table.
You don't want to sit next to your uncle, most likely, in the insane age. You don't want to sit next to your dad either. Just as a golden rule.
Yeah. The kids have the better conversations. They know about shit that you don't know about. You know, they can tell you about the Pokemans. It's great. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Just look at them and just be like, could somebody tell me where the hell Squirtle is? Because I need to know where Squirtle is. And you're going to set one of them off. Either you're going to have a cousin who's somehow older than you, but real fucking mad about that, who's going to join you, and then you get to drown those kids out.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Or one of them's going to be like, I know, but they got all these red ones. And then they can just sit there and show you their fucking Pokedex while you just eat cranberry jam and everything will be fine.
Or you can get one of them to explain what the fuck Death Stranding is to you. That'll be great.
Don't. Hey, I'm telling you right now, bring the iPad to the table.
Yeah.
Your mom will be mad. Fucking ignore her. Bring the iPad to the table.
Yeah.
You're going to do everyone else a favor. Start watching Empire.
Yeah.
Start watching fucking Empire when you sit down to eat.
Yeah.
Watching Empire is great. There's a ton of story there. You don't want to miss any of it. It's got the fucking rat-at-ats. It's worth watching. The kids will love it. It'll be really good. You can enjoy it because you're fucking old. They can enjoy it because it's Star Wars. It's the perfect film.
I gotta ask a nerd why people call them AT-ATs and not AT-ATs. Because in the movies, they call them AT-ATs. But like the Star Wars nerds call them AT-ATs.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The people that you're hearing them call them AT-ATs, that Venn diagram, are they wearing a shirt with some sort of nerdy mashup and or do they own a fedora?
That could be a thing. That could be a thing.
I think you may have answered your own question.
That might.
You know what you do, Jamie? We're gonna double back here. Just ask them, hey, did you get a chance to catch the McRib this year? And if they get excited, you know what to do. You take your pie,
walk that
and
you
go in the other fucking room.
Yeah. All right, Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
You can find me at That Guy Chalmers on Instagram. You can shoot me a message on Facebook. I'll probably friend request you, but I'll fucking ignore you. And I'm debating whether I'm going to have the time to dust off my Twitter account to live tweet the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Ooh. It's the only reason to get on Twitter. Ooh. That and to start tweeting at America's sweetheart, your friend of mine, host of the dog show, John O'Hurley. So really, that's what you got to do. You watch that dog show.
Yeah.
Watch that dog show.
Yeah. That'd be great. I wonder why there isn't a eating contest of some kind for Thanksgiving.
Because you don't want to do that to people who are already going to feel gluttonous. See, because like 4th of July, you can be gluttonous, but it's a power drinking holiday because you're all celebrating America.
Yeah.
In this sense, we're all just like, we're giving thanks. It's a wine mom holiday is really what it is. It's a lot of reason to like, like you're breaking out the good silverware and it's a lot of poultry. Like it's just, like frankly, if you were able to kill, maybe that's what we need to do is like do like a freedom's giving or something like that, where we just do nothing but like freedom's beers giving. And barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me at Jamie Noguchi on Instagram, Angry Zen Master on Twitter. I am not going to DesignerCon this weekend, but I have a piece at DesignerCon at booth 630. I can't believe I didn't talk about this, but
Fucking Ambassador Hell, that figure looked amazing. Go check out goddamn Jamie's social media if you haven't seen already. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. Give
him all the praise. And then if you happen to be at the con, I don't know, buy it, vote for it. Is it up for an award? It fucking should.
It's up for sale. Like, all of the customs are going to be on sale. So, like, you get to take home a pretty Someone dope piece of art.
Fucking go buy that.
Yeah. And it's a soft vinyl figure, a Sofubi of Gerald Akamura. If any of you have seen Big Trouble in Little China, the alleyway scene where the Wing Kong interrupt the funeral, he's the bald guy with the severe beard, the mustache with the golden guns, like the bandoliers, and he's just like he grabs the guns and just pow, 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 like murders everybody. And the piece is called A Man of Many Weapons. So like I'm upset that I don't get to go to the show because I want to meet him, because like I love this movie, and to be able to do a piece that's inspired by him with like produced by one of my favorite artists, like I don't know, there's like a whole mishmash of things that, and I'll geek about it next time we come to the show, like we do the show and podcasts and stuff. But yeah, so that's it for now. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye, kids. Don't be a complete shithead to your family. Seriously, you're gonna need to talk to them later. Except for your uncle. Fuck that guy.
All right.
And